Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome back. New edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air, broadcasting as always from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob and Kelly with you this afternoon. Glad you could tune in. Opening segment of our show today, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great place to take your family for a wonderful meal tonight, but the more importantly, even great place to cater your next event, whether it be for your school, your church, your business. That is their specialty, barbecue and catering, and they do a great job of it. We're always grateful to have Dickey's on the Super Talk Eagle Hour team. All right, we've got another Hall of Famer in the studio with us today, soon to be former track and field coach Wayne Williams joins us now. He's one of the newest members of the M Club Hall of Fame. They'll be going, actually making it official, I think, sometime in October, but the announcements are official. So Coach Williams coached men and women's track at Southern Miss from 1998 through 2007, 80 program records during his tenure, 11 All-Americans, 52 gold medals in CUSA championship competition, and then a long history at another school you may have heard of, the University of Alabama. And Coach Williams, welcome to the Eagle Hour studio.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I have to ask all of you Hall of Famers, because Kelly and I will never get that kind of phone call. Where were you, and what did that mean to you when you were told you were going in the hall?
I was on a Saturday. I was either about to do some yard work or had already done some, and I got the call, and very surprised and very happy, I guess, for that call, because you know, it's just something you always think about. You never expect something like that, but it was a very, very good phone call. I was floating on air after that. So.
It must be a feeling of satisfaction to get a call like that. Am I right?
It is. You know, you put in a lot of hard work. You know, and I know everybody works hard, but you know, you recruit hard. A lot of time put in. It's not an 8-to-5 job. It's 7 in the morning sometime till midnight recruiting and doing all the stuff. So it's always great to be recognized for that effort. And, again, having the kids come in and perform well, just like the school records, the All-Americans, different things like that. So it's good to have that particular recognition. And to me, I guess it's recognizing those kids too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of it.
And is it fair to say you replaced Marshall Bell, who was pretty legendary coach here, that you, Coach Bell, and even now the current coach, you had to do a lot with a little. Am I right?
Absolutely, you do. We did have to do a lot with a little. Track and field, one of the lesser funded type of sports, you know, and I guess you could say that about baseball and some others, but track, you know, football – you look at all the scholarships they have, basketball, that type of thing. But, yeah, track and field is one of the lesser funded sports.
And when you came, Coach, from Alabama, that school obviously had plenty of resources. So you literally go from the haves financially to Southern Miss, which was at the time, you know, have-nots. What made you even think, I would think it would almost be insurmountable, the hill that you had to climb.
It kind of was, except the fact that, again, Southern Miss scholarship allotments and the University of Alabama scholarship allotments were the same NCAA. It was only a few years after I got here that Southern Miss had to downgrade some of the scholarships and take away some of the funding, that type of thing. But for the first 5 or 6 or 7 years, I had the full allotment.
But the facilities didn't compare.
Absolutely. Now, the facility was a lot different. Although, again, Southern Miss had just built a new track. Coach Bell had a chance to have one season on that after spending years of having to go down to Hattiesburg High and train down there. So he had at least 1 year there. And when I got here, the track was in great shape, and we had access to a brand-new track for my next my 10 years here.
Is Coach Bell still with us, Mark?
No, he's I think not.
He passed. Right. Coach Bell passed.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I think. I'm not sure.
Gosh, I think that's right.
We'll find out about that.
Well, what? Yeah,
you said something interesting, though. You said they cut back your scholarships. Why?
Gender equity, Title IX, trying to fund different programs. I hate to even bring this up, but I went from having – again, 12.6, which is what the NCAA allowed Alabama and any other school, 12.6 men's scholarships, 18 women's scholarships, and one of my ADs that came in cut me back from 12.6 to 6.3 and also
in half.
Cut it in half. And the women were cut back 18 down to 14, which 14 still gave me some room to work with, but the 6.3 – it was really difficult.
And despite that, you won. Your guys broke 80 school records.
Well, we had brought in some good kids.
52 gold medals in CUSA competition.
Absolutely. So,
and I salute the university, too, for recognizing there. And any university, I know there's the tendency, and you kind of mentioned it, Coach Williams, you know, football's been the bell cow in the South, you know, basketball, some of the more sports to get more national recognition. But the fact that Southern Miss does put people in the Hall of Fame that certainly deserve it, regardless of what sport they've been around, whether it's been a revenue-generating sport, you know, or not.
Absolutely. And that's another thing. When I did find out I was in the Hall of Fame, I did look up the Hall of Fame to go back and see. And I'm in there with some very, very good company over the past 20, 25, 30 years.
Actually, this will be the second Hall of Fame you're going into. You're inducted into the MAIS Hall of Fame because after your college career, you've continued to coach track and field at the high school level, currently at Presbyterian Christian in Hattiesburg. And at 84 years old, you're still rocking and rolling and teaching track and field. So, man, it gives you something to do. And I wonder if these kids have any idea, even going back to your Alabama days, who they're getting to work with on a daily basis.
Well, I try to remind them of that, but they don't seem to, it doesn't seem to sink in. They like me. I like them. We, you know, we get along well together. The age difference from a 14, 15 year old kid to an 84 year old coach, they don't seem to, that doesn't seem to bother them.
Yeah, even though you don't know who they're listening to musically, and they certainly wouldn't have known who you were listening to musically.
Let me tell you a quick story about that musically. Back when I first got to Southern Miss, we'd go out to the track meet on a Saturday, and I set up a soundtrack of music that I like to play, you know, in between events and that type of thing. So I went in on a Monday after that, and Sonia Varnell called me and said, "Coach, the kids don't like the music that you're playing. They want to set up a whole new soundtrack."
What were you playing, Coach?
Oh, I was the Temptations, the Four Tops. I was
Motown. Yeah,
I was the 50s and 60s. I mean, you know, I had. All the old, but they didn't appreciate. They didn't appreciate the Temptations and the Four.
Right, right.
I don't think they knew who they were.
Is the greatest part of coaching? I have a little tiny shred of experience with that, but is the greatest part of coaching the relationships you build with young people, and those relationships you continue to communicate with those kids the rest of their lives?
Absolutely. I've got kids that I have text messages groups with.
Right.
I've got a text group for my Austin Peay athletes that they talk back and forth all the time. I've got a group of Alabama athletes that we talk back and forth. I'm on Facebook with a lot of them. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll get in touch with me. I mean, it's just it's a quick story. I took a few kids up to Birmingham during the indoor track season. And I'm watching this group of kids run, and one of the kids was from Oxford, Alabama, and I remembered that her on Facebook had told me she had a daughter. She ran for me at Southern Miss. And so Anyway, I asked one of the Oxford kids, I said, do you know this particular girl? Yeah, she's sitting right up here. So they sent her down. She texted her mother. Her mother got in touch with me. She said, oh, Coach, she said, I'm tearing up right now. So, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It is a great situation.
It's very rewarding because it makes you think, well, maybe I did have a little bit of an impact on their lives.
I think so.
Well, we're delighted you're here. Can you stick around another? So you got some great stories to tell about your times at Alabama and your encounters with the most iconic football coach in history. Can you hang around and share those with us?
Be glad to.
We're delighted to have Wayne Williams in the Eagle Hour studio with us.
And I didn't realize that Bear Bryant had such a unique approach to physical fitness.
I can't wait for Coach to share that and some other stories about the great Bear Bryant. All right, more with Coach Wayne Williams on the other side of the break. As we head to the break, our friends at Forest Health remind you that keeping up with your favorite track team is fun, but you're the most important player. Be sure you get an annual physical. Eat right, exercise. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. Take really good care of yourself. You'll be in as good a shape as Coach Williams here. And that's a goal there, Coach. So we'll be right back with Coach Wayne Williams.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
There you go. Do some home repair, home remodeling on your property this weekend. You got to make a trip to MCS Home Center. That's where you find everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden. MCS Home Center, Hattiesburg's new improvement home center with local folks eager to serve you. 7329 Highway 98 West. Not a kinder person in the world than Hank Lott and his wonderful family. And they're local folks. They're great folks, and you need to do business with MCS Home Center.
And that was a big gamble too, Bob. Kind of when they opened that that big facility out there, right, in Bellevue, because you know the big box stores you're going up against have got some pretty good sway. Yeah. And I'm glad to see that everything's going well.
All right, I have gotten a note that Coach Bell is alive. We believe Marshall Bell is still alive.
Oh, good.
So that's good news, obviously. All right, Eagle Tire West sponsors this segment of the show. That's where you find Matt Warren and his staff out on Highway 98 West. They sell Goodyear and other major brands of tires. They do full service work on cars and trucks. They're family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire on Hardy Street, Eagle Tire West, Highway 98 West. We've got the former track coach and the newest member of the M Club Hall of Fame, Wayne Williams, in the building. Before we move on to your great Alabama stories, I want to point this out. And I got Coach's permission to do this. Coach is 84 years old. Looks like a man 20 years younger.
Better than you and me.
Oh, spent 2.5 hours playing pickleball before he came here. And up until recently had a senior Olympic basketball team. So, Coach, is the secret to looking as good as you do exercise and moving? Is that what we're hearing?
I'll take that as a compliment. But yes, I have always been running track, playing basketball. I did play a little football in high school, but I've been active all my life. I can't not be active. Well, I don't know if that makes any sense, but
you're an inspiration in that regard, Coach. I mean that sincerely. Well, that's an inspiration. All right. Now, speaking of exercising, you've got a lot of great Alabama stories, but you were coaching track and field for many, many years at Alabama, and you were a coach there during the Bear Bryant regime. And you told us before the show that your wife and a friend of hers used to exercise on a regular basis with Coach Bryant. they would walk together, but Coach Bryant had an unusual exercise style. Can you explain that?
Well, Coach Bryant would come down from his office and meet my wife and her friend, and they would walk laps in what we call the concourse, which was the big building basketball arena where Coach Bryant's office was. But he would come down, and he would smoke a cigarette while they would be walking. So, I don't know if that was the best thing to do, you know.
Well, what we know now, probably not. Huh? A little counterintuitive, but you tell Bear Bryant to put the cigarette out.
What was Coach Bryant such a legend? What was he like?
That's really hard to explain because I knew him, but yet you didn't know him. I mean, that type of thing. And I'll preface it by saying this: Coach Bryant to me was bigger than life. It's just like, you know, that everybody that knows him. But when I would bring an athlete in or recruit an athlete to come in, he was always more than gracious about talking with that athlete about, you know, you need to stay in touch with your mama, you need to do this, you need to write her letters, that type of thing. And he would recruit the athlete for me. So I brought in a lot of athletes that he was mainly responsible for me getting them to Alabama. So to me, he was just a gracious individual. Like I said, I knew him, but I didn't know him. But again, to me, he worked a lot for me and my program.
Well, sure, and I'm sure that any kid that comes on a recruiting trip and gets the opportunity to meet Bear Bryant, that had an impact, right?
Absolutely. I believe it. I believe so.
Right. You know, being raised in the Birmingham area, you know, tell us about, because there is now some crossover, because Coach Ray Perkins, who was from Petal, Mississippi, of course, then was the athletic director and a coach at Alabama. So there was a little bit of back and forth there as far as knowing each other and crossing each other's paths, et cetera.
Absolutely. And like I say, I think I mentioned this earlier, that I was at Alabama under five head football coaches, you know, and Coach Perkins was one of those, and Bill Curry and Gene Stallings, and obviously Coach
You were there
Bryant.
A long time, weren't you, Coach, at Alabama?
Two years working on my doctorate. I've got a doctor's degree, so 2 years doing that. Then 19 more years as an assistant coach.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was there for 21 years, so –
So, Bill, but he was an AD. When you got promoted, it was kind of a unique situation that you got promoted then at Alabama to the head coaching position.
Yes, it was an unusual situation. I hate to tell this story, but, yeah, my head coach that I worked under at Alabama had gotten in trouble with the NCAA, a violation about some money, which at this day and age,
kind of funny now to hear.
Kind of a very funny situation now that he got in trouble over $1,000 or $1,500, and now a kid wouldn't even talk to you unless it's less than a million. But anyway, again, and Coach Perkins was the AD then, and he found out that one of our athletes was taking road race money, and he relieved the head coach of his responsibilities. We were at the SEC meet when that happened, and the good girl that we had that did that, they sent her home. And again, we went out and had a good meet. We won the conference meet that weekend. But when I got back, the coach was relieved of his duties, and I was moved up into the head coach position through the NCAA championships that were in June. So at that time, Coach Perkins was looking for somebody to bring in, and he found a coach at Arkansas and brought him in. So,
you know, we've had the opportunity through the years to spend some time around Coach Perkins, and he has passed, but he was a fascinating guy. What was he like to work for?
Kind of a tough guy.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
Caught a touchdown pass from Johnny Unitas in the Super Bowl. I want to throw that in there, but go ahead, Coach.
Yeah. Coach Perkins was not the most personable type of guy, you know, that you want to work for. He and I actually worked out in the same workout facility there in Tuscaloosa, and sometimes we'd go in, and he might not speak to me the whole time we're there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's kind of – he had a different and a unique personality. But
not quite as relaxed as Bear Bryant is what I'm
No, if you think Coach Bryant was a hard nose, you know, Ray Perkins was even more.
And actually, our current track and field coach, John Stewart, who has been on this program many times, you were a little bit instrumental in John Stewart being considered and then wind up getting the coaching position here where he was at Georgia?
I believe so, because like I said, I've told you earlier that when I was the head coach at Southern Miss, Coach Stewart was coaching at Southeast Louisiana or Monroe somewhere. He would bring his team to Hattiesburg and to compete, and I got to know John pretty well. And when he went on to be the assistant coach at Georgia, I was again here, but Coach Bill McGillis was the athletic director at Southern Miss, and I was working at Presbyterian Christian. And Coach McGillis had a son that was playing basketball and baseball at PCS. So Coach McGillis would come in, we'd sit together at the games, and we would talk. He knew me from my Southern Miss background. So one day he gives me a call on Sunday afternoon, and he says, "Coach, I've got some names of some prospects for the coaching position at Southern Miss." And he ran those names by me. And when he said John Stewart, I says, "Coach, John Stewart should be your guy." I said, he's the one that would take this program and move it forwards. And he did. He hired John.
And you told us that you agree with Kelly and I. You think he's just outstanding.
He's doing a marvelous, wonderful job.
Yeah. We both agree.
Absolutely.
With that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What was it about his skill set, though, Coach Williams, that you recognized that he would be a shining star in this field?
I'm going to say this in a different way. John and I are a lot alike. He develops a kind of a personality, a relationship with the kids like I do. The kids love him. They do whatever. You know, I think if you've got that kind of relationship, and he's a good recruiter. I was a good recruiter, so we've got these same characteristics. So when you bring in good kids with a good personality, you get them to work for you, you're going to have good results.
Right. All right, Coach, now that you're a member of the Hall of Fame, do you feel any different?
Just a few days older.
Just a few days older?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm absolutely elated to be in there because I look back over the different coaches that were in, the different athletes, a lot of them that I known personally, you know, Coach McClellan, Helen Grant, Coach Bell, obviously, John Cox. Another story, I'm in the Hall of Fame with Brett Favre, you know, and Brett Favre goes to the same church.
Who's Favre? Oh, yeah, he played a little quarterback.
Yeah, right? He's been in all the papers. I'm sure you've heard of him.
I remember
but
that, yeah.
lot of great athletes and a lot of great coaches that's in that Hall of Fame. And I was looking over the list earlier, and a lot of the athletes that's been inducted over the past few years were athletes that I brought in to Southern Miss. So that's another, I think, is a good endorsement for me. I don't know. So.
Well, Coach, I'm delighted that you came to our studio and we got to meet you personally. I'm thrilled to see that you're in the Hall of Fame, especially now after I met you.
I'd imagine, though, it's getting tougher and tougher, though, Coach, to fill out your basketball roster.
that is true. We've buried some of them over the past few years. So.
Congratulations, Coach.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for coming and sharing some time with Kelly and I.
Absolutely.
Delightful to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
Coach Wayne Williams, the newest member of the Southern Miss M Club Hall of Fame. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the SuperTalk Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs, all at Mississippi's beautiful exclusive Genesis dealership right down the road here, Highway 98 West. Check them out. Genesis of Hattiesburg. We really appreciate all that they do for our program. This segment is sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street. Have you found Luke Reynolds yet?
I think he's gone into hiding.
Okay, we're trying to locate Luke Reynolds.
Luke, we're not working undercover for the IRS or anything like that.
No, he's the manager of DBAT, where you go for baseball and softball training for kids. Sports training of every sport for adults. Beautiful facility. Got a great pro shop as well. D-Bat on Hardy Street, another place we're very, very lucky to have. All right, so during the break, we were talking about Coach Williams was so delightful, and somehow it came up about growing up and what nicknames you were called. Well, needless to say, with my last name, I spent, 15 years being called Spaghetti, Noodlehead, you name it. Every playoff of Spaghetti I've been called, my children as well. But you had a great one, Kelly Belly. Is that true?
You want to know why I'm so messed up and why I've been in therapy? I mean, it was Kelly Belly, Kelly's Jelly Belly, Santa Claus, Sandcastle, Sandman. I mean, every variation that you can think of. Yeah, and then, of course, having what you would now call a unisex name of mm-hmm. Kelly, when everybody was naming their girls Kelly mm-hmm. back in those days, man, it was brutal.
Can you say unisex on the air?
I think we can. Okay. Isn't that accepted now?
The FCC doesn't control anything anymore. Hey, we want to say, speaking of names, and we hope this child is never called a name she doesn't like, but we want to congratulate our, I don't know how you describe him. He's our friend, kind of like a son to us, and just a wonderful young man, Dima Mixon and his wife, Corey. Corey gave birth to a baby girl day before yesterday, right, Kelly?
Esther Louise Mixon.
Yeah.
Is now with us.
And we were really proud to know that she got through the delivery without Dima passing out in the delivery room. We were a little concerned about that.
Yeah, just wait till he gets the bill.
That's when he'll pass out for the second time. But they're back home. Baby's doing great. Mama's doing great. Don't know how good Dima's doing. I think probably Corey and Esther are doing better than Dima at this point. But congratulations. If you don't know this young couple, they are unusually delightful. They are really a special young couple, and I won't go into all the reasons, but just trust me on that.
Yeah, and so we're glad. We didn't get to mention it yesterday, but we wanted to certainly let you know why Dima wasn't here today and probably won't be with us, but sporadically, if we're lucky, during the month of July. And in the first segment, Bob, we were asking whether Coach Marshall Bell was still with us. And I apologized sincerely to the Bell family. I thought that he
wasn't certain, and I brought his name. I broke the old broadcasting rule. You bring up something that you really don't know the answer to.
Well, and I was
happy to hear that he is.
Yeah, he is still with us. So again, I certainly apologize to the Bell family.
All right, Kelly, here's something I want to talk to you about. The NCAA Division I cabinet unanimously has approved a new 5-year age-based eligibility rule for college athletes. Kids that graduate from high school this year will be affected by that. And here it is in a nutshell. From the day you enroll in college, you have 5 years of potential athletic eligibility. Now, if you play 4 years injury-free and you haven't missed a year because of injuries or whatever reason, then your eligibility is over. It's designed to, number one, replace all the redshirting and what have you. But I think the big thing is we literally see players now playing college sports, 26, 27 years old. A couple of NBA players that didn't make it in the NBA went back to college this past year and were allowed to play. This place is an age limit, a time limit. Have we finally seen the first step toward bringing some sanity back to collegiate athletics?
You would hope so, but right now, as that rule is being unveiled, you know that there are sports attorneys all across the country figuring out how, and I don't mean this is not a slam on attorneys, I'm just saying there are going to be still special cases, and one that comes to mind, for example, would be Brigham Young or Utah, where you have a lot of members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, where they do their mission trips, right out of high school. So that would certainly be, I would think that that would be discrimination based on religion, that you would be, if you, but maybe not, because I want to go back to your first point that you made. Once you enroll in college.
Yeah, let me clarify that.
Okay.
The clock starts upon initial full-time enrollment in college or at the beginning of the academic year following their 19th birthday or whichever occurs first.
Okay, so that would
Right? So that means they don't want anybody more than 24 years old playing college athletics.
Right, but again, if in the example that I just gave with Brigham Young, who has a lot of kids that are on mission trips, they lots of times don't even enroll in college.
That's the way it reads.
Until
and I'm obviously not a lawyer.
Right.
College, the clock starts upon initial full-time enrollment in college or at the beginning of the academic year following their 19th birthday, whichever occurs first. So I don't know. Maybe we ought to get a lawyer out here.
Wait, read those again, Bob. Read those again that you just said.
All right. The clock starts upon initial full-time enrollment in college.
Okay, so
or at the beginning of the academic year following their 19th birthday, whichever occurs first.
Okay, so that would take care of the way that I read that is that would take care of those particular kids that are on mission trips that yeah.
I think some sensible allowance like that would be prudent, I think. But you got to get away from these 26 and 27 year old guys playing against 19 year old college students. You got to get away from that, Kelly.
And there's no really desire to go play in the pros.
Well, no,
when you're making all this money in college.
Not now. You don't have to do anything but look up north at Ole Miss. I'm not trying to single out Ole Miss. A lot of colleges are doing it. That kid, you know, he got pretty much secured for the rest of his life financially because he got a judge to give him another year of eligibility.
I'm just glad that the NCAA apparently is starting to flex their muscles a little bit instead of being in a backward position where they're backing up to all this pressure, that they're now starting to take an offensive stance and saying,
I think a lot of
pushing
this could,
back.
I think that's a great move. And I think 90% of the problem would be solved, and that is to put some limit on the number of times you can transfer or maybe go back to the old way. Yeah, you can transfer, Kelly, but you're going to sit out next year, and then the next year you can start playing. I think that combined with this five-year rule would resolve many, many issues facing college sports.
And again, this could be the first step. I'm just glad that they're being assertive and not taking a defensive stance, but trying to tackle this head on. And I think one of the few things that the government has done well for a while is whether that rule is going to pass or not that we talked about last week. At least the government is even trying to say, yeah, something has to be done here.
But you're right. You're right. I applaud the NCAA for doing this. But the first time they try to impose it, someone is going to file a federal lawsuit, and some judge is going to stop it.
And speaking of which, you probably got the news.
Sick of federal judges.
Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby was informed by the National Football League yesterday that there will not be a supplemental draft. So coming up in the fall. So he is a man without a country.
Did he not understand that the National Football League is not going to embrace an athlete who openly talks about his sports gambling on teams that he's involved with? Did he not understand that?
I'm shocked lots of times at the things.
Tell me this, Kelly. If you let this young man play football, knowing now what you know, and he comes out and he's quarterbacking, and the game's on the line, and he's got a wide receiver open down the sidelines, and he overthrows him. Everybody in the stand is going to think, did he have a bet on that? Did he do that on purpose? And there's the problem.
But for the NFL to just make a blanket statement like that, now here's the way it would be argued contrary to what you just said. Mm-hmm. Let Brendan Sorsby do what he wants to do. It's up to the NFL teams on an individual basis to say, we want nothing to do with him.
Well, that's one way to look at it, but I don't think the league looks at it that way.
They don't, but there will be some attorneys that do.
I agree. No, I think you just count the days now to the lawsuit start.
I wouldn't be surprised if something wasn't filed today.
I wouldn't be either. So, I wouldn't be surprised if they judge shop, find a liberal judge that they know is going to side with them and go to that jurisdiction and file the law.
So hypothetically, let's say the NFL loses that case and they say, okay, Brennan, so of course, there's not going to be a supplemental draft, so he'd have to wait until next spring. But then again, you'd be leaving it in the control of the NFL teams, and I really don't think there would be any general manager that would want to roll the dice, if you'll pardon the pun, on a guy like that in the league.
They don't want those kind of headaches.
No.
They want to get ready to play and win.
They have enough problems already.
That's exactly right. All right, we'll be right back. News and notes next. Super Talk Eagle Hour rolls along.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for tuning in today. Don't forget about our podcast in case you ever miss a live show. It's on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. Got some gold and silver laying around the house. Maybe some old jewelry, some old coins, and you'd like to turn that into cash. Marty Vick at Jewel Masters specializes in that. He has done that, I think, since the 80s around here in Hattiesburg. Nobody knows it better. Nobody gives you more money for your gold or silver. Just reach out to Jewel Masters, and don't be fooled by all the Johnny-come-latelys and all their signs up and down the road. If you want to get the best product, the best money for your gold and silver products, make sure that you take it to Jewel Masters. And if you're looking for a great place to eat, I don't know of a better place. The Movie Star Restaurant right here in Oak Grove, they're open 6 days a week. They have the best country cooking buffets you will ever eat. The only exception I'll say was with my grandma. I want to respect her. She could cook mighty good too. But boy, they know how to do it at the Movie Star Restaurant, and you just feel like you're in the South eating comfort food.
And if your grandmother would have heard you, she would have, quote, snatched you bald-headed.
She would have. My grandmother. God, how I loved my grandmother. And used to cook all my favorites when I was at grandma's house.
Man, we got some great shows coming up, Bob. It might be summer, man, but we're still rocking and rolling.
Who we got on Friday, Kelly?
Well, on Friday, we're working. We're working.
Well, we got one secured.
Colby Allen, baseball.
See, who's he? Oh, yeah, he pitched a little here, didn't he? Now gone.
Yeah, now gone. And we're working on another player for Friday. But, man, tomorrow we got Lee Roberts. We're going to talk a little Sun Belt football, a little Southern Miss football.
And then we got
Get Loud. You got something about slapping that microphone. Houston's not going to like
DJ
you, the engineer.
DJ Cujo is going to join us tomorrow.
Yeah, he's because we were kind of freaked out because we've been hearing that he's leaving town. But that doesn't mean he's leaving Southern Miss and the different events. So
we'll have the news on that, whether or not DJ Cujo will be back. And that'll put the rest to the silly rumors that got started a year or so ago of how we just didn't like him. This will be his second or third appearance on the show, I think.
Yeah. He's an entertainer.
He is an entertainer.
You understand what
he came to a remote you and I were doing back during that period of time. We were doing a remote at Buffalo Wild Wings, and I walk out in the parking lot, and who's standing in the parking lot had come to introduce himself to me, and we took a picture together just to show everybody that we get along just fine. So we look forward to having DJ Cujo on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, so we've got to work.
Speaking of Dima Mixon and DJ Cujo, that's who did the music at the Mixon wedding, was DJ Cujo.
I wasn't at the – where was I?
I think you weren't invited. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring that up. I didn't mean to bring that up.
Well, that would make sense. Okay, as to why I wasn't there. I wasn't invited. Believe me, it's not the first thing that I've not been invited to. But I always try to spin it the right way. Look at the money I saved on buying a gift.
Yes, that is true. That is true. And that would be the way you look at it.
Yeah, of course.
That would be exactly. Okay, Kelly, do you have any news and notes?
No, there's no news and notes, Bob. Other than the USA is getting ready to play another game in the World Cup, they will play Turkey tomorrow evening.
Football.
That's right, and that'll be at SoFi Stadium out in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. is already advanced to the knockout round, the field of 32, which will be the next round of World Cup. But their last pool play game, so to speak, will be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
I heard that they had cut a deal, and that is if the U.S. wins the World Cup, then forever it will be known as soccer. And we can quit this silliness of describing it as football, because we all know football is the NFL.
I have to tell you, though, this country is falling in love with the Scottish team.
Well, I can understand why.
I know that the bartenders, certainly in Boston, which is where they are kind of basing themselves out of. But a lot of the Scottish soccer team and their fans went to a Red Sox game.
Mm-hmm.
Red Sox. And they're sitting there enjoying the game. And on the first, the Red Sox were playing defense. And out of whoever they were playing, hit a routine fly ball to left field, which was caught. And you would have thought that the Scottish had won the World Cup, the way that they were jumping up and down with excitement and enthusiasm that a guy
having a good time, aren't
that a guy had made a routine catch in left field.
I became a fan for life when I read about him drinking the bars in some downtown area dry, and they told him, "Well, we still have Bud Light," and they said, "No, we'll just quit drinking."
Even we have standards.
And I like the Norwegians. Have you seen how they all sit together and they do the row together?
Yeah, up the escalator.
It's pretty cool.
And the Japanese are cleaning up after themselves.
And I see that's catching on. I saw last night where some other fans from other countries were doing the same. Attention, Americans.
Yes.
Yes.
And one of the things that when I coached my travel ball teams, I always insisted that we clean up our dugout. And sometimes my players would say, "Well, we didn't leave that." I'd say, "Pick it up anyway."
Right.
And then other teams would get mad at us because they couldn't get into the dugout because we were cleaning it up.
Well, now the parents would get mad at you for making the kids clean up.
Making them work to do anything. Yes.
They wouldn't like that, would they?
They would not.
Great show today. We sure thank Wayne Williams for coming out here. He just kind of set us all in a good mood.
And I'm really surprised he hasn't been in the hall until now, quite honestly. But I'm glad that he got his due.
So good for him. All right, back on the air tomorrow with Lee Roberts and DJ Cujo. Boy, there's a pair. Southern Miss.
To the top. Into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.